Blog Talk Radio.
All right, sister. Elder G. Bazard, Watchman on the Wall, End Time, Global Link Ministry. We are carrying the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only true living God, the only God that exists and can do things for your life. Amen. One thing he can do for your life, he can save your soul, your soul, your soul. That's the only God that can save your soul. All other gods and pagans or false gods can only damn your soul. We got a name that's above every name, and that name is Jesus Christ, for he is the only true living God. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight, and we're going to go into the Word of God. We're going to let you know what's going on. We're going to let you know the signs and the seasons that we're living in. We're living in the last days. We're living at the close of the age, not the end of the world. Amen. The world is never going to end, but what God is going to end, he's going to end sin, death, hell, and the grave. He's going to end that. That will be cast into the lake of fire. And all those that follow Satan, all those that reject the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will have to spend eternity in hell forever. Now, I know, the devil says it's hard to believe. Amen. That people don't want to believe that, amen, you got to pay for your sins. Amen. If you don't let Jesus Christ pay for your sins, you got to pay for your own. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to pay for my own sins, not against God. If I pay my own sins, I got to go to hell. But Jesus Christ stopped that when he died on Calvary's cross, gave his life that men, women, boys, and girls can receive Christ in their life and live forever in the everlasting bliss of the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you know, some people are funny. I mean, the world is funny. They don't want God now. They won't receive Christ in their life. But yet and still, they want to go to heaven. Now, that's impossible. You can't go to heaven in sin. You can't go to heaven in unbelief. You can't go to heaven doing the works of Satan and believe in Satan and worship in Satan. You can't go. You just can't go. I'll tell you that right from the Word of God. You just can't go. You can't sneak into heaven. You can't talk your way into heaven. You can't cry your way into heaven. You just can't go to church and go to heaven. You got to come to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, which is God Almighty in the flesh. So glad to have with me, amen, the Elder Timothy Jackson down there in Dallas. I think he's close to Dallas, Texas. He's on the west side of Dallas, Texas, and I'm coming from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. Amen. I thank the Lord and praise the Lord that he gave me the opportunity, me and Brother Timothy Jackson, to come on and preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, explain the Word of God, and proclaim the Word of God. Nothing but the Word of God. If it's in the Bible, I want it. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. Hallelujah. Amen. At this time, before we get to the Word, amen, I'm going to have a prayer, and then I'm going to give it over to Brother Jackson. Amen. Let him do that kickoff. Amen. We're kicking at the zero-yard line, and he's going to kick it all the way over to the opposite side of the field, 100 yards. Amen. We're going to give you the whole Bible. Amen. At least we're going to try. We're going to give you some things that we can't cover. We don't have the time, but the most important we're going to cover is that Jesus Christ, number one, Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That's the number one. Number one. Ain't no other name above the name of Jesus Christ. He is God Almighty in the flesh. You hear what I say? He's Almighty God in the flesh. And he came down here born by a Virgin Mary in the Bethlehem of Judea, stayed here 33 and one half years, suffered and died and was punished on the cross, hung on the cross, went down into the grave, got up on the third day morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. He went back to heaven. Amen. Stayed on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, went back to heaven, and he told the disciples, look, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will absolutely, definitely come back again. And guess what? You going back down there to Jerusalem, I'm going to send you some power, which is the Holy Ghost. 10 days later, Pentecost came. Guess what? The people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went out preaching the gospel. They didn't go to the pool room. They didn't go down to the whorehouse. They didn't go nowhere but outside preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the Jewish people and let them know the one that they crucified and hung on a tree. That's the one that can save your soul. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that's the head doctrine of the Bible. If anybody come to you and say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, they're antichrists. And we got plenty of them today. We got them all roaming through the church. We got them on the street. We got them in the beer joints. We got them in the high society, the Illuminati. We got them in secret society. Them suckers is everywhere. Amen. And if you're not saved, you are a candidate for the Antichrist. And he is already alive, waiting for the proper time for him to come on the scene. And I'm here to tell you tonight, y'all have to pray for me and Brother Tim. Amen. We've been doing some death study. We've been letting you know, amen, what's going on in the world, because preachers today are not telling nobody nothing. They're telling them materialistic and high living and society and money and women and all. They ain't preaching a swat. They ain't being a swat. They ain't preaching nothing. And I say I defy them. I reject, because let me tell you, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And one thing you don't want to do, woo, you don't want to go to hell. I don't care who you are. Even the devils don't want to go to hell. But see, they're already ordained. They're going straight to hell after they get through with their foolishness on this earth. Satan been on his 6,000 years messing up everything, messing up people's lives, messing up the government, messing up the economy. He messing up everything he touches. He messes up. But we got here some news for you today. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you eternal life. And like I say, brother, give prayer, then I want you to come on in and do what you got to do. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. Ask to you, Lord, to use us in a mighty way that we can get to the people, that we can get to their souls and their spirits and let them know, amen, that Jesus Christ loves them. He loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not. We ask you right now, Father, anointing that we need. Oh Lord, we need your anointing. We need your word. We need your spirit. We need your love, that somebody may come to acknowledge you, accept Jesus Christ tonight. And we're here not on no money plan. We're not here on no famous or how great you are. We're on here to lift up your name and only your name, because by your name, it's the only way men can be saved. We ask you to touch us right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jack, go ahead.
Amen. All glory be to the Most High God, amen, of heaven. Amen. It's good to be back, amen, to minister to the children of God. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. I'm praying for each and every one of you, for me, amen, and our household. We are praying for you, amen. Elder, I'm praying for you and your household, amen. All glory be to the Most High God at this day and time, amen. We are to definitely be paying attention, as Christ said, to watch, and as Paul also stated, we are to watch for the return of the Most High God, amen. So I'm grateful to be here. Amen. I'm watching some news. I've been watching the news closely, brother, amen, about what's going on in the world, as we should, amen. We should be paying attention, watching. That's what we're supposed to be doing, watching, amen. I know that the U.S. said its allies right now are NATO, Europe, amen, European nations, other than Russia, amen. We know that the Germans are kind of on the fence, amen. They said they don't know which way the Germans are going to swing, so that's kind of concerning. The U.S. governments and NATO and these other nations have decided against Russia, amen. So I can say, tell you this, amen, just by watching some of the experts on the news today, amen, and the day before, that they're anticipating something. They said this is not good. Amen. Russia and Ukraine had some incidents back in 2014, they said, but this is a little different. Amen. Russia has an agenda. Amen. And we know this is, they're just really fulfilling Bible prophecy. But amen, as it goes, Amen. As we get close to the return of Christ, as we get close to the day of the Lord, amen. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit. The day of the Lord, that's what's coming. Now, the church won't be on earth during the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is what? The tribulation, amen, which God's going to take out. We've been saying this. I've been saying this since May 2020. What is the tribulation about? God's judgments and punishments against the wicked, against those who have rejected him and rejected his salvation. Amen. Again, this thing is no joke. I've been looking at the language, and there are some concerns. Some people are just coming straight out and saying it. The Russia is not lining up. Amen. As we said last week, as I said, Russia's not lining up 100,000 troops for nothing. And it's funny because somebody referred to Hitler. When Hitler did the same thing, I think it was Poland. Yeah. I believe they said that Hitler, they had lined up the troops on the border of Poland and said the exact same thing. Oh, we have no intent on invading, and the rest is history. Amen. The rest is history. So we know what happened. Amen. He plunged the world into World War II. Amen.
Go ahead.
So now, like I said, I've been studying and looking at some things in World War II. Even watched a few little war shows, and I was shocked to come to find out that over 50 million men and women died in World War II. I didn't know it was that many. That is a lot of souls. 50 million people died, over 50 million people. So, amen, they're expecting war. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what the president said. I listened to Biden. And he said it. He said he's expecting some casualties and that for it to be great out of Ukraine. And he said that Russia will eventually prevail because they're probably right there by the border. But he said that they're not going to prevail without great casualties, without great effect. Let's just put it like that.
Come on.
So I was just watching that. Now, Russia, we know Russia allies are, but I think Russia has some hidden allies. I really do, because I tell you, Germany and China kind of concerns me. It wouldn't surprise me if they side with Russia and kind of back Russia. That's just my thought, and I could be wrong. Asia may stay out of it. Germany may stay out of it, but amen. That just kind of has me a little concerned. Now, understand when I say concerned, not concerned for us, the church, because we believe that we'll be out of here. But I'm concerned for the world and those who have turned the blind eye, and they're so into social media. They're so into how good they look. They're so into how much money they can make, their cars, their jewelry, their money, partying, having a good time. As the word says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the day of the Son of Man. The world is just going on about their business. And they're so distracted by this virus. They're so distracted by getting back to vacations and traveling and cruise ships and partying and having a good time and, you know, drinking and drugging, like my dad used to say. He'd say drinking and drugging. So the world is so concerned about me, that this age is not like the generation before. Man, my dad used to watch the evening news every single day. Every morning he get up and listen to his radio. It wasn't a day or more as my dad would miss the news. It was unless he was at church, he did not miss his news. And this day and time, most of the world is not really paying attention. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a great number that's paying attention. Don't get me wrong. But I think some of the younger generation is not concerned, because when I talk to people about it, they look at me cross-eyed like, what are you talking about? Russia's on the border of Ukraine. And I'm like, wow. So, amen. As I said before, I believe this is the perfect time for Christ to return. Why? Because nobody's watching. Amen. And that's how the devil wants it. That's what the devil planned. The devil planned on distracting the world so bad that the very church, the very churchgoers are not paying any attention to Christ's return. Amen. But I'm glad to hear that some pastors and ministers are beginning to speak that message, because we have to push that message even more to shake the church. We want the church, if anybody, the church should not be lost. Amen.
That's
we
right.
don't want to, amen. We don't want nobody to be lost. But it's sad to go to church year in and year out and to find yourself at the great white throne judgment. Amen. So, amen. So we
Lord,
have to speak
Lord,
that word. Amen. So we know who the players are on Russia's side according to the word. We have Persia, which is Iran. We have Ethiopia. Amen. I was watching the video, and I've known this for years from reading and studying books, that when you talk about Ethiopia, it's actually talking about Africa, because Africa was actually known as Ethiopia in ancient times. Now, I'm not saying all of Africa, amen, is going to indulge and join Russia, because I don't believe majority of Africa has that type of let's say funding, let's say that. Not trying to knock Africa or anything, or willingness to get into a major world war. But I do believe that there's going to be more than just Ethiopia and Libya to join Russia. There may be a few other African countries that may decide to join Russia. Amen.
Uh-huh.
We don't know. It's going to be very interesting. Gomer, Germany. We said that Gomer earlier this week, or last, that was the weekend, is Germany. We found that. And I just stated earlier that Germany, amen. Amen. In fact, Germany just got rid of his one of his top generals or guys because of a comment that he had made. He said that we should just basically give Putin credit. Amen. As if, you know, there's nothing wrong with what Putin is doing. Basically, he has the right, which he does, in a sense, because they are a brother nation. He has the right to do what he's doing. But just like Biden said, we have a right as the world and the United States to be concerned and to be at arms when he's arming himself against another country in aggression, sending 100,000 troops to its border. That is not something light when Ukraine is actually using citizens. Get this. They're using citizens to come forward to help protect their nation. Now, if you compare Ukraine to Russia, my God, that's like a giant to a kid, hey, man. So you can see why the world is like, wait a minute, why is our big – that's almost like America going up against Puerto Rico or Mexico or something like that. And not to knock those countries, but if you compare the firepower and the technology and what all the nuclear warfare that America has compared to some of these third world countries, it is unmatched. So Ukraine is really no match for Russia if Russia was to really come down on Ukraine. So this is why NATO has stepped up, the United States has stepped up, Europe has stepped up and say, wait a minute, Russia, hold on. If you do cross that border for any reason, do know that you will be met with fierce force and attack, amen, in equal force, if not greater, to your own. Biden has said that. Amen. NATO said we are definitely in and we're not going to sit back and watch as this takes place. So this is not something light. And as one expert said, if Russia crosses that border, goodness, he said this will change the world as we know it. And we know that it will. It will change the world because we have nuclear war and we know how it is. You know, if you press on a country too much, they just might push those buttons. We don't want that. They're saying that they're trying the best that they can to come to a diplomatic, strategic peace treaty. They're trying to say, hey, wait a minute, we can work this out without this coming to arms. But the rest of the world, amen, as I stated, NATO, U.S., and Europe are saying if it comes down to it, we are ready and we just going to have to do what we got to do. Man, I'm going to tell you, what a day and age to be alive. Amen. Amen. Now, watch this. Biden said he has sent $600 million in equipment to Ukraine. $600 million. What do you think that's doing to our economy? Now, he just gave $600 million to Ukraine. Our economy ain't the best. America just prints money. We already know that America is just printing money. We know America's already $1 trillion in debt. We already know who they're in debt to, okay? amen, do your research and your study. It ain't hard to find out who they're in debt to. But I guarantee you, amen, it's going to rock our economy. The banks are already struggling as it is because, you know, the banks get their money from who? The government. The governments have to bail out all the banks. When I worked back in mortgage back in 2008, amen, back in 2008 when I was working in the mortgage division of a large bank, it was unbelievable. You know, the government was giving them $6 billion. It was a hush-hush thing. And, in fact, when I went to go work for another large bank, amen, one day I'll reveal those banks to you that I worked at. I went to go work at another large bank years later, and one of the top people in the company revealed how much money that they had gotten from the government, and somebody heard them and came down on them and said, that's not for everybody in the company below us to know that, and you should not have disclosed that information. And they was telling them how much they told us. We were in shock. We were like, wow, the government's giving away money like that to the banks and not bailing out the people. So we know that who's in control. If the government's bailing out banks, then we're going to be in big trouble if we're handing out money like that to an already suffering and struggling economy, to where people don't want to go to work. Nobody's really going to work. I know where I work at now. They're struggling right now to keep people. We got so many new people working at the bank that they, as soon as they come, they're quitting as soon as they get there. Amen. Because people, I don't know how people are surviving, because I got bills. I got bills to pay, so I don't know how they're not working, which I'm trying to find out the magic myself so I can just do ministry. But anyway, amen, back to the subject at hand. Amen. So we know that that $600 million is costly. Now, you think about that. That's just money that they give to Ukraine. This war has not even started. I guarantee you, if war starts, we're going to be in the billions. I guarantee you that. We're going to be, if the war starts, we're going to send more troops. We're going to get whatever we need to get ready to go to war. And they've already sent dispatch. I believe they said it was 8,500 troops. Now, they're not at the border, he said, but they're somewhere off or far to where they're close enough to, if anything jumps off, they're ready to go to war. Yeah. Not only that, amen. Not only that, they're asking that the American people who are in Ukraine to evacuate. They already got jets over there loading them up to get them out of Ukraine, and they're encouraging Americans not to go into Russia. Amen. So again, this is not something to make light. Paul talked about this. I'm gonna talk about this real quick, and I'm gonna get over to the brother. Amen. Before I get out of here, I want to say this. Amen. Back over to 1 Thessalonians, amen, First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Now, what's funny about this, before Paul talks about a thief in the night, from if you go to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18, Paul talks about Christ's return before the thief in the night. And that should wake people up in the church when you study the Bible, the order in which Paul presented this, meaning that he presented the gathering together, which we know as the rapture. He presented that first. And then he talked about, watch what he said in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. He said, but other times, what times? Let me break down to you what that means in the Greek. A fixed or a special occasion. Goodness. A space or time. So what time is he talking about? The times. Well, the Revelation calls it a times, okay, and time. And I can't remember exactly how I stated, but it's referring to 3.5 years, which is the tribulation broke up into half, which is the times is what it calls it, which is 3.5 years. Paul refers to these times, this split first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years. He calls it the times, which we're, what are we talking about? It's called the day of the Lord, the day of what? God's judgments and punishments on those who reject and the unbelievers, meaning that the church won't be here. He said of the times and the seasons. What seasons? You break it down to Greek. An occasion or proper time, We talked about the 70 weeks. The brother did an excellent job. Amen. Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, broke that down. What? The 70th week, the last 7 years that the Jews are going to witness. The church is done. Amen.
Amen.
The short.
Amen.
The scripture says that breaks down to me a short time. That short time compared to 6,000 years is only 7 years. The great tribulation is only 7 years. Now watch what he said. He said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, there it is, the what? The day of the Lord. So we know what Paul is referring to in verse 1 because he states it what? In verse 2. So we know what the times are. We know what the seasons are.
Come on.
And the times leading up to the tribulation, the seasons leading up to the tribulation, Christ talked about in St. John, the 24th chapter. Let's go there real quick, just real quick before I turn
all
over
right,
the
book. Go ahead.
Amen. Matthew's, the 24th chapter.
Fourth chapter.
Amen. And verse 4. It's a key verse. Matthew 24 and 4. And Jesus, Yahshua, answered and said unto them, who is them? The disciples. The disciples represent the church age, amen. So he's talking to them. In essence, he's talking to us. Take heed that what? No man deceive you. What,
come
don't
on
let
now.
Tim deceive you. Don't let Elder Bazaar deceive you. Don't let anybody in these churches deceive you. Don't let anyone in the world deceive you. But know for yourself, and I tell people all the time, study yourself, read the Bible, fact check what we tell you. Go back and study yourself. But watch what it says. It says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And watch verse 6, Lord, have mercy. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not what troubled. For all these things. Now, why would Christ tell us not to be troubled? Because Christ knew he was coming back to get the church.
Come on.
There's a reason why it's called Jacob's trouble. Amen.
Come on.
But we're not going to be troubled. He said, see, now that you're not troubled, because we won't be here.
No,
which
sir.
Is a blessed thing. I'm grateful for that. Amen. Watch
Amen.
What he said. Amen. He said, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We are not troubled at this day and time before the great tribulation.
No.
Why? Because the end is not yet, and there's not a reason. Now watch what it says in verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Man, don't we see the Holy Scriptures? The Bible is prophetic. And the Bible's unfolding right before us. And there shall be famines. Okay? What always happens at the side of war, man, y'all better wake up.
Wake up.
The economies are always plundered into what? Famines. The lack of food.
Sir.
We're
seeing
that now. We're seeing that now. And you're going to really see.
He just gave
$600 million. We're going to be hurting even more.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Amen. And it says against pestilences, we already got these viruses out here.
Yeah.
Amen. And it says earthquakes in diverse places.
Woo.
Amen. I'm going to give it to the brother. Amen. And so I want to share that I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk more about the day of the Lord. Go ahead, Doctor.
Ooh, man, you at the 25 yard line now, man. You
all glory to the Most High.
5 yard line, man. Hey, you hit the head, the nail on the head with the hammer and the word of God. Yes, we are living absolutely in the last days, just before the rapture, just before Christ raptured the body of Christ and His body. Is the only body that has been blood washed. Uh-oh, look here. Blood washed. You got to be blood washed before you can be caught in the rapture. If you're not saved, You talk about this year self-made, homemade, backyard religion that people come up with to do what they want to do, say what they want to say, go where they want to go, and take God second rate. But let me tell you, if God is second rate in your life, you're missing something. Amen. I don't believe you that much saved if you're taking God second. Ooh, because I don't take him second. I don't take him third. I don't take him fourth. I take him first in my life. Jesus Christ is my number one. Ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody I'm thinking about that could do what he do. Oh, what he did. What he did not for me only, but for the whole round world. He saved. He saved. He died. He was beaten. He was smitten. He was rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, led to the slaughter like a dumb lamb, opened not his mouth. He did all that for me. Now, if you don't want to admit that, that's up to you. But I'm going to admit that he went to the slaughter like a dumb lamb, that I can what? Be saved through his wonderful blood. And his blood is powerful. His blood is eternal. And when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, I'm talking about the real Christ. I ain't talking about this half-hearted Christ. I'm not talking about this one that you found on the side of a ditch. I'm not talking about this one that you made up yourself. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about God himself in the flesh. He came down here and died for us. And what the brother has just told you about Russia, about Libya, about Ethiopia, about all this that you see going on today, Bible prophecy that was prophesied by who? By the prophet named Ezekiel. He prophesied this long before it even happened. In 606 B.C., when he was by the river of Chebar, he asked the Lord, Lord, what is Israel going to do? My God, Israel has been desecrated. The city has been desolate. The temple is not even in function. The high priest is not in function. What are you going to do, Lord? Show me something that I can be encouraged. And the Lord told Ezekiel in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel is dynamic because that is the chapter in which Israel almost, now listen to me, almost became extinct. It was almost wiped out as a nation, almost. But let me tell you, almost ain't good enough. And if you don't believe me, talk to Agrippa. Agrippa told Paul, he said, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Lord, have mercy. But almost persuaded is not good enough. And a lot of people have been persuaded to be a Christian, and they have rejected the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, I don't see where Paul ever came back to Agrippa and told him, now, you want to be saved now? And Agrippa wasn't even written in the scripture. So I'm telling you something now. If you have an opportunity to receive Christ today, you should not say, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian, Brother Bazard. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian, Brother Jackson. No, you should say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I turn from my wickedness. I believe that you died for my low-down, rotten, cutthroat sins that I have committed, that I have done, what I have thought. I believe all my drug and all my alcohol and all my sex. Lord, I am sorry. I'm going to turn from that and believe on your son, Jesus Christ, that he died, that I won't have to go to hell for my own sin because what Jesus Christ paid the price. What you talking about? Christ could not pay it with gold. He could not pay it with silver. He could not pay it with the good works. He could not pay it by the color of your skin. He could not pay it by your status quo. He could not pay it for because you call yourself a preacher. He can't pay it that way. The only way that your sins can be wiped out, the only way that your sins can be cleansed, the only way that your sins can be obliterated is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness without, for no man shall see the Lord. So if you're not living in holiness, good God Almighty, you ain't gonna never see the Lord. You ain't gonna be able to look upon it, because let me tell you, you got to be sanctified, which means to be set apart from sin. Now that don't mean I haven't sinned. What it means that I have the victory over sin. I got the victory over sin. Sin does not control me. Ooh, the flesh does not control me. My mama, my daddy, my sister, my best friend don't control me. Why? Because I am filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost got me. I ain't got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost got me. You ever hear somebody say, I got the Holy Ghost? No. No. The Holy Ghost got you, if you got it. Because if you got the Holy Ghost, you'll let go. But the Holy Ghost got you. It won't let you go. Because he said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. And getting back to Russia. Getting back to Russia. Russia is one of the most heathenish nations on the face of the earth because they deny the God of heaven. The government does not lift up the name of Yahweh. They don't lift up the name of Jesus. They don't lift up the Holy Bible. I believe they got more atheists in Russia than you can shake a stick at. I think the Christians in Russia is suffering great persecution under the government because it's a dictatorship type government, and they believe that they are God. They believe that they can rule the world. And you ever hear of Ivan the Terrible? Ivan the Terrible was a descendant of the Russian nation. They were vicious people. Murderous people. Don't get me wrong. God loves everybody. But the reason why the nations are fighting against each other is because of Lucifer. Lucifer is a war mongrel. He loves to kill. He loves bloodshed. He loves shooting and murdering. He loves carnal debauchery of sin. Why? Because that's the only thing he can do. Jesus called him and said, the devil is nothing but a thief, a robber and a murderer. And he's murdering people today. And the war that's getting ready to start up is going to go all up into 2023. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to be no picnic. It ain't going to be down at the pool room. It ain't going to be at no bingo. It ain't going to be hopscotch. You know what I'm talking about. It ain't going to be playing marbles. This is the new Bible prophecy that Ezekiel prophesied 2,600 years ago. 2,600 years ago by the river Chebar, God told him, said, now I'm going to take you somewhere, Ezekiel. I'm going to take you down by the valley of the dry bone, and I'm going to let you know what these dry bones are. I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do with these dry bones. I'm going to let you know how these dry bones come together. I'm going to let you know how I'm going to put them back, these dry bones back in the land. And Ezekiel said, oh, man, I don't know whoever can do that. Whoever can do that. Whoever can take a dead nation that rejected God, and they were chosen by God. And by them chosen by God, they went astray. And when they went astray, God chastised them to teach them a lesson. Don't you ever go astray again. And now, he said, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones, and them bones were dry. Woo! You talking about dry. Israel was dry. They had fell into heathenism. They had fell into adultery. They had fell into every heathenish sin that the Gentiles committed. And they became so rotten that God said, oh, you backsliding heifer. Y'all gonna backslid on me. And I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you through the desert. I brought you to the land that's thrown with milk and honey. And now you don't turn your back on me. And because you have turned your back on me, I'm going to scatter you all over the face of the earth. And Ezekiel said, these bones are scattered from the east, the north, and south, and the west. He said, now, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know if they can live. I don't know because I don't have no power. And you got to give me the power to speak to these dry bones. And you know something, when the Lord speaks, somebody got to move. Because God Almighty, if the Lord speaks, something got to move. I don't care if it's nothing. Nothing got to move because he's a God-making God. He's a God that can take nothing and make something. He's a God that can speak to anything and has got the answer. And he's going to say, oh, whoa, you dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to make a long story short. The 37th chapter gives you a visualized view of the restoration of Israel back into the... That's what the dry bones represent, because the dry bones were scattered all over the face of the earth until what year? 1948 was the restoration of Israel back in the land. When they came back in the land, the heathen nation said, no, we don't want the Jews back into the heathen. We don't want them back in that land because they are the only people people that can make the land prosperous. They're the only people that can grow. They're the only people that can restore Israel. And the Gentile nations tried to stop them from the time that they got back into the land until 2022. They still won't move out of the land. Now, here's what I can't understand by Bible students, so-called Bible students. How in the world do you think that God is going to eliminate Israel when Israel was the only nation that brought the Bible into existence, the only nation that brought Jesus Christ down here, the only nation that God brought out of the land of Egypt and planted them in the land full with milk and honey to do what? To bring the living Messiah to the birth
Amen.
Of Mary. What other nation did that? Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Come on, Bible students. You talk about you know the Bible. You don't know the Bible if you don't recognize that Jesus Christ was a Jew. You hear what I said? J-E-W, Jew. He came from his own nation, his own family, his own brethren, his own sisters. He was the one that God used through the Jewish nation to bring what? Good God Almighty. Bring salvation
Amen.
To the world. Oh, my God. My spirit is stirred up right now because Allah ain't done nothing. Ooh, Buddha ain't
Amen.
Done nothing. Shinto ain't done nothing. KK ain't done nothing. The Baptist ain't done nothing. The Presbyterian ain't done nothing. What are you talking about? I'm talking about salvation, man. I ain't talking about hell, man. I'm talking about salvation. And these religions are going around promising their own righteousness. They're going to hell in a handbasket because there's only one righteous way that you can please God, and that is to repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremongering and incest and child pornography and child abduction and murdering and killing and doing all this. You got to turn all the way 180 degrees and turn
Amen.
And look at the cross of Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And let me tell you, I know something. Russia ain't worried about Ukraine. Why do Russia want to come through Ukraine? Why do they want to come through there? Why they want to capture that city? The reason why, number one, they are making a plan. They're making a hypothetical, unique plan. And that plan is to come from the north to the south to
Amen.
Enter into the land of Israel and conquer Jerusalem. That's their plan.
Amen.
But they can't get there unless they come through Ukraine, the Baltic Sea. They cannot move until they get into that land and conquer the people so they can rule them to get to the next country and the next country. Because if you keep on going south, good God Almighty, if you keep on going south, you'll run right smack down upon the mountains of Israel. And that's what Ezekiel said, that these armies would unite together under five other countries that will back up Russia. And Russia said, we are going to be the lead ones to go down and let the Jews know it's time for us to come in and rule the Middle East. Because if they rule the Middle East, all other countries of the world will collapse. Because in the Middle East rules all the prosperity, all the oil, all the gas, all the potash, all the best time to grow food is in Jerusalem. And they don't grow small food. They grow big tomatoes. They grow big watermelon. They grow big grapes. Oh, my God. That's the place in which Jesus Christ will rule and reign during the millennium reign. And you think God is going to sit on the throne and twiddle his fingers and let Russia come down there and take his country? You a lying wonder. Satan knows it. Because let me tell you something. You mess with the Jewish people, you messing with a Haman. If you don't believe me, you ask Haman and Esther and Mordecai. If you mess with the Jew, you're messing with a hanging just like Mussolini did. And if you mess with the Jew, you're going to end up just like Hitler because Hitler said, I got to get rid of the Jewish people, because the devil knows through Hitler that these people were unique, and if I could get rid of them, I can rule the world. And let me tell you something. Putin do not know what he's in for. The army of the northern kingdom of Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, they are in for a bruising, a bruising. Why? Because you cannot destroy the Jewish people. You can't do it. If you can destroy Christ, then you can destroy the Jewish people. But as long as Christ sits on the throne, as long as the I am is the I am of the I am sits on the throne, they ain't going to be able to do nothing but get hung. And I'm telling you today, all that you see is going to build up and build up and build up. And I believe with all my heart, with all my mind, that when this happens, it won't happen until, listen to me, it won't happen until they get a full invasion upon Israel. It won't happen until the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, has to be removed. It has to be removed because the Jews are going to come on the scene. And when the Jews come on the scene, they're not going to come with a prayer meeting. They're not going to come with a Bible study. They're going to come preaching the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they're going to warn the world for the first 3.5 years that the true Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and Morning Star, the Great I Am, the one that come from Edom, the one with dyed garments on, is getting ready to come and rapture the church. And when he removed the church, the Israelites, the Jewish, because in the 7th chapter of Revelation, and the 7th chapter of Revelation says that Israel will come on the scene. And when it come on the scene, it's going to come on the scene with 144, not church members, good God Almighty. It ain't going to come on with a certain denomination. It's coming on as 144,000 Jewish men that will preach the blood of Jesus Christ and preach that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and preach that God been manifested in the flesh, seen of angels and justified by the Spirit. They're going to preach that he died and rose again. They're going to preach he's coming back. Oh, yes, he is. To what? To rule and reign. He's going to rule and reign. So what's going on now? This is the beginning of the end.
That's right.
Because in 2014, Russia tried to take Romania down. They took criteria. They took that, and they were fighting so long till they stopped. But now they're going to come back with a 100,000-man army, and they're going to come with planes. They're going to come with tanks. They're going to come with all kinds of warlike instrument. They're gonna come with horses. They're gonna come with the weaponry that's harder than steel, but made out of wood. If you would read Ezekiel, it tells you about they're gonna burn their weapons for 7 years. Well, where did the 7 years come from? Ooh, this is the last 7 years of history. This is the 7 years in which Russia will be defeated and 86 of our army will be destroyed. And guess what? The church will be in heaven. What? Watching, looking, and seeing what the world is coming to. And those that have been born again will be able to speculate and watch earth catastrophe, because it's going to be a catastrophe. The 144,000 will be so dynamic. Woo, it will be 24/7. It will be 365 days a year. It will be 12 months. It will be January, February, March, April, May, all day long, all night long. And let me tell you, ain't nobody going to, the 144,000 ain't going to get tired. Why? Because God's going to be supernatural power, supernatural power. And guess what? The whole world will witness it. Good God Almighty, the Instagram, Facebook, Twitters, all the unique technology that man has to visualize what's going to happen in Jerusalem. The ABC, the NBC, the CBS, the MSNBC, all news will be pointing at the 144,000, and men and women will be hearing this through their TV and radio. They will say, oh, my God, the Jews are preaching that Jesus Christ is coming back since the church didn't fulfill its prosperity. The church is not doing it. The preachers are not telling the congregation, look, y'all better get ready. You better seek the Lord of your salvation. You better turn from your wicked ways. You better come on out to church. If you ain't working in the church right, you better just come on out until you get right. And when you get right, come on back in and say, Lord, for God I live and for God I die, because there's too much playing in the church. There's too much playing.
Right.
There's too much foolish women in the church. Too much whorish men in the church, too much educated and sophisticated and, you know, debonair, got your heads in the air, you got your fine clothes on, you got your automobile with your chrome wheels, you get in and you think you're God yourself, but you ain't no God, you just a human being made out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into your nostrils, and he requires that your soul be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what's going to happen? The church will be removed from the planet. And when the church is removed from the planet, the 144 evangelists will preach 3.5 years. And guess what? By that time, Russia will try to invade Israel, because it's going to happen. The invasion is going to happen after the church is raptured.
Right.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Bible teaching, the Bible scholars and seminars, no, it ain't going to happen. God is through with the Jew. God, no, you a lying wonder, brother. God ain't through with the Jew. Just like if you have a family, amen, and you a family man and you love your family, and you ain't going to let nobody mess with your family. Come on, y'all.
Right, amen.
You ain't going to let disgrace your children. You're going to put a hammer on his head. I know I would. Amen. And God said, these people are the apple of mine eye. I love my people, and I'm going to protect them. But the 144,000 will preach to the world, will preach to their own nation, and will preach to the Gentiles. All those heathen gods that the Gentiles have, they got over 3,000. They are 3,000 occult religions are on the face of the earth, and it comes directly from the pits of hell, because the devil is the author of all paganism. Y'all don't listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. Amen. If you ain't reading from the Holy Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you got a pagan Bible. Amen. And there's only one true Bible. That Bible has 66 books. Hey, 39 in the old and 27 in the new. Make 66. And you can know all 66 of them, but if you don't know the man who wrote them, you still can go to hell. Uh-oh. Because a lot of people know the Bible, but they don't know the man who wrote it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, who holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what I'm saying, as the brother said, the day of the Lord is almost here. It's going to take about 7 to 8 months for them to get a revolution. Because when they invade Ukraine, they ain't going to be start throwing no bombs. No. If they do, they're going to do a house-to-house shooting. Because if they start dropping bombs, you gonna kill a lot of people. The economy gonna go down real fast. But the economy is gonna go down. All our money now is gonna be going over there to Ukraine, and Putin ain't gonna back up. Because what the Bible said is gonna happen. So we can pray, and what we should be praying for is praying that we repent of our sins. Repent. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you're going to be delivered from this awkward warmongering world. People are killing each other, not only on the battlefield, but domestic violence and all kinds of murders are going on. People are cutting people,
right,
put them in barrels. They're destroying babies, 60 million babies. What about that? There ain't nobody saying nothing about that. We got all kinds of abortion clinics opening up. Women are having babies and throwing them away in a garbage can and having nothing.
Okay.
And throw it away at the time when they get, Woo! By the time they get 60 years old, they ain't got nothing. They don't use their life for Satan use. They don't use their life for their own pleasure. But the only way you can escape to sin, death, hell, and the grave, you got to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. So what's going to happen? We're living in the last generation. The last
Amen.
Generation began in 1948. And the last year, 2029, concludes 80 years. That's one generation. And when the 80 years are up, I guarantee you the tribulation will be the close of up to 2029. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying I don't know what hour, I don't know what day, but there's a season of times that the Bible said there's seven feast days. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let the brother have it. There's seven feast days that God said, I'm going to let it be fulfilled to the Jewish people. I'm going to let the Jews take hold of this. The church is on the sideline looking, wondering what's going on. And the reason they don't know what's going on is because the church is not preaching the whole Bible. They're preaching a little bit of it. They preach what they like. But the revelation is a part of the whole Bible. And he said there's a time coming when men will seek death and won't
Amen.
Be able to die. There's a time
That's
coming
right.
when scorpions will come up out the earth and sting men that they'll want to die and can't die. There's a generation coming in which the Euphrates River will be dried up and the kings of the east will cross the Euphrates River and it's going to be getting prepared for the battle of Armageddon. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back and his feet is going to stand on the top of the Mount of Olives and he's going to end up starting the millennium reign of Jesus Christ with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says. I ain't talking about what you think. I'm not thinking about
Amen.
What I think. I'm telling you what I know that's in the Word of God. Because if it's
that's
in
right.
the Word of God, you can seek some wisdom to find out what God is trying to tell you. He's trying to tell you time is up. Church folks, come on. Quit trying to dress up so that you think you look like you're going to heaven. I don't care how you dress up. You can dress up with a ring around your head and wings on your back. And going into church and shouting all of it, that don't mean nothing. You've got to have a change in your life. You've got to have a change from the inside so it'll show on the outside. And if it don't show on the outside, most likely you ain't got nothing on the inside. Because whatever
Amen.
On the inside will come out on the outside. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. There's something within you. If you know Jesus Christ, you're talking about a person. A person. God himself, through his son, Jesus Christ, lives in you. Now, you living like Christ, and what you talking about living like Christ? I can't live like this. You can. You can live like Christ with what? The love of God. The love of God. If a man say he loved God and hate his
That's
brother,
right.
he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. I'm going to come back with this and talk about the second part of the times and times and dividing times. The 144,000. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to give it to Brother Jackson. After the 144,000 get through preaching for 3.5 years, that's going to be there's going to be a great revival that will circle the earth.
Amen.
And what I'm a great revival that will circle the earth, it will hit every continent. God is going to hit every continent and everybody on the planet. We'll hear the message of the real gospel, the real salvation, the real holiness, the real love of God will save those that believe the gospel of the 144,000. How many? The Bible said there was a number. Uh-oh. A number that no man could number. As many as the sands of the sea, and one of the elders, one of the church elders, amen, that was sitting on the throne, sitting on the 12 judgment thrones in heaven. He said, where did these come from? And who are they? And one of the elders said, don't you know who they are? Oh, man, he said, don't you know these are they that came out of the great tribulation? Don't you know these are the ones that were left after the rapture of the church, they hear the gospel of the 144,000. Don't you know they accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and now they're in the by the throne of God, and they're worshiping God, and they're singing. I'm going to close right here. They're singing a new song that the angels, the cherubims, the seraphims, and any other film, they couldn't sing. And I don't know the name of the song, but the only song I can come up with from here to eternity is this. I've been redeemed. I've been washed, in the blood of the Lamb, and got the victory in my hand, got the victory in my heart. This is what's getting ready to happen. This is what Putin is getting ready to light up. And if you read the sixth chapter of Revelation, you will read this. And I'm going to shut my mouth and let the brother have it, because I know he got something to say. I know he got the word of God, too. So this year, first horse that came is the white horse. That's the Antichrist. After the Antichrist signed the peace treaty, the red horse come. The red horse represent Russia. That's who that is, Russia. Because when Russia come, it's a red horse. And he's coming with a great sword in his hand. And that great sword means a great army. A great army is going to swoop down upon the mountain of Israel, and God's going to cut them asunder. He's going to defeat the Russian army, that they're going to go back into Siberia, and 83% of the army of Russia will be destroyed. And God said, this is what the white horse and the red horse is all about. So what we're doing now, we're getting ready to enter into that final showdown. But the blessed hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will automatically, uniquely call the church home. The church job.
Amen.
And that's why I'm working day and night. That's why I'm studying. That's why me and Brother Jackson, we get together, amen. We talk about situations, let the people know. And we're telling you right now, whoever you are, whatever you are, you ought to grab your friends by the hand and say, hey, man, we hear some preachers that have been preaching the Bible. I ain't talking about what about I'm preaching. Preaching the Bible, telling us exactly what's getting ready to happen. And it's going to happen. God bless you. Brother Jack, take it on in.
Amen. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Amen. Good word. Amen. Amen. The day of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you a few scriptures before I call tonight. Amen. I'm going to call your attention to the book of Isaiah. Amen. The second.
Praise his name. Book of Isaiah.
Amen. All glory to the Most High God. Amen. Let's see if I can get over the book of Isaiah. There we go. The second chapter. Let me get to the very beginning of the book. Now, I'll share some things with you. Amen. Some scriptures. I know I've talked about this before. Amen. It talks about the true peace, which will be established one day, amen, which we know they're talking about the millennial reign. But in Ezekiel, it actually starts out at verse 5, but I'm not going to start at verse 5. I'm actually going to start over at verse 12. Amen. We're going to talk about the day of the Lord. It says, verse 12 through the 26 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. And upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols shall be utterly abolished. And they shall go into the holes and of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the
Lord.
For the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Number 22, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted? Amen. This is a very powerful scripture, I tell you, man. This is a very, very powerful scripture. You can also find a reference to this to Revelation, the sixth chapter, the last few verses actually referring to this. Amen. It's referring to the day of the Lord.
I get that and read it for you, and then you can, I give it back to you. I'm going to read this.
Go ahead.
Sixth chapter, it says this. Lord have mercy. It's in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, at the 12th verse. It said, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. No, that ain't it. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Okay,
that's it.
I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig cast into an untimely fig, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens departed as a stone, and when it rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?
Stand.
That's yours, brother.
Amen. Awesome, doctor. Amen. Thank you. Amen. That's the day of the Lord. Amen. Now, remember, the church will not be here. Those who love God, those who are saved, those who have salvation, this is why Paul said of these times and seasons, let's go back over. Amen.
Go ahead.
First Thessalonians. Amen. Fifth chapter, verse 1. Paul said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. This is for the people who think that the church is going to be here. The church will not go through the great tribulation. If you listen to that foolishness, amen, I have to call what it is because that's foolishness. We will not be here. Hey, if you believe, now, if you believe you're going to be here, you ain't saved. You're right. You will be here. Amen. I'm just going to call you out and call you what it is, tell you what it is. Amen. The church will not be here. This is why Paul said, but of the times and the season. I explained to you what the times meant and what the seasons meant in the Greek. I just broke it down for you. It's referring to, amen, not only the times leading up, but in particularly, it says a specific time. Amen. So that means the what? The tribulation, that's what it's referring to, a special occasion. That's what times is. It's referring to the great tribulation. And it says that ye have no need that I write unto you. He's talking to the church. There's no reason for us to warn you is what Paul is saying, because you believe this is not written unto you. It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a what? Thief of the night. Now, let me share this with you.
Go ahead.
If a thief come in the night, you don't know when he's coming. Amen? Because it talks about over in the book of Matthew, if you knew when the thief was coming, you would have prepared yourself. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But when you are watchful, you're in the Word, we ain't no need for us to be aware. We already know that Christ is coming back. We are aware of the times and the seasons is getting very close, so we're not concerned. So he's not going to creep up on us. But to those who are unbelievers, to those who are sleeping and playing in the church, he's going to creep up on them. Amen? And so for them that's going to be left here, Paul said, now, see, you need to know, but you don't know. But Lord have mercy. But watch what Paul said. And here's another thing. Amen. If he says a thief in the night, that means that when Christ comes back to get the church, no man knows the what, the day or the hour. See, he sees a lot of people talking about the church going to be go through the tribulation and Christ going to come back. Well, we already know that Christ has come back to the end of the tribulation. So that doesn't mean he's coming as a thief in the night. He's not surprising us. See, it's the beginning of the tribulation that's unaccounted for. That's the only time period in the book that's a mystery that Paul wrote about that no one knew exactly when it was going to start. The rest of it, amen, the rest of the history of the Bible is accounted for with the exception of the return of Christ to get the church.
Yes,
now, the second return, when he actually comes back to the earth, we do know that at the end of the 7 years, whenever the tribulation starts, we know that seven years from the start of the tribulation, we know for a fact as the church, as believers of Christ and those that study the Bible, we know for a fact the end of the 7 years, Christ is coming back with the church. But before the tribulation starts, nobody knows the day nor the hour. That's why Paul talks about it as a thief in the night. Now watch what verse 3 says. It says, for when they shall say, watch what he says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child. Woman. And they shall not escape. But watch what he said. Watch what he said. He said, now notice he said, they shall not escape. See, he's not talking to the church. He's not talking to the believers. We won't be here. Watch what he said. He said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why did Paul say that? Because he gave you reference to it. Over, you go back to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. He said that the church will be caught up and gathered together, which you all know it as the rapture, will be caught up before the day of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen, brother.
So, amen, brother. Amen. So this is a very powerful word. This is a very powerful message that we are setting the tone for the church. We're giving you the times and the seasons that we're in, as Christ talked about in Matthew, the 24th chapter. We're informing you and letting you know, amen, that these wars and rumors of wars, we're in that times, amen, that the Antichrist is about to come. Amen. But before he can even set foot on stage, amen, the church must be gathered together and raptured off of this planet, amen, which we will go to the Bema seat of Christ to be judged before for the Son of Man, amen. He's going to judge the church, and what he's going to do, he's going to hand out rewards to those who believe him, for the scripture says only what you do for Christ shall last, amen. Not how many degrees you got, not how many zeros in your bank account, not how many cars you have, not how many furs or minks or jewelry and cash you got in a safe deposit box, not how much real estate you got or how much your real estate is worth, not how much money you make on your job or in your business per year, amen, not how impressive your tax statements look and your bank statements and your profit and loss statements. I used to do all that for the bank. Amen. I used to calculate that stuff and do underwriting. See, it's not about all that. Amen. It's simply about what you do for Christ. See, I like God because God is so simple. He keeps it so real. He said, all you got to do is serve me, love me, share my word, and I'm going to give you more. Now, check this out. That's the Bible's the best doctrine degree you can have. Woo, Lord have mercy. And you don't need man's approval. You don't have to go to college no 6 years or 7 years or 10 years or plus. And you don't need man's approval to get God's doctrine degree. Man, talk to me here. You're about to make me preach up in here. Amen. You don't have to have man's approval. Amen. God said, I'm going to reward you. In fact, God said, all you have to do is give your soul to me. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And I'm going to give you the greatest gift in existence. Let me tell you something. Salvation is so easy to obtain. It's easier to obtain salvation than it is a doctrine degree. Amen. But guess what you're going to get? That doctor's degree, you got to go through an interview. You got to let them size you up and decide they're going to pay you $100,000 a year or $1 million a year, whatever it's going to pay you. You got to let the man size you up, a man judge you and decide if they want to pay you or not, if they want to be around you or deal with you. But see, with God, he said, I accept you. Amen. He said, I welcome you with open arms. I will give you the greatest gift in existence. Amen. Not that we don't need no doctrine degree to get into heaven. He said, all you have to do is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. We know that as the plan of salvation. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen. And you're going to receive the greatest gift in existence, which is immortality for all eternity. You're going to be forever young. A doctrine degree can't give you that. A doctrine degree can't give you immortality. A doctrine degree can't take away your grace. A doctrine degree can't restore your eyes. It can't restore your health. It can't get rid of diabetes. It can't heal. It can't heal cancer. Amen. It can't restore a broken leg. Amen. Or missing limb. Amen. A doctrine degree can't grow your hair back. A doctrine degree can't help you enter into the kingdom of heaven. It definitely can't get you to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen. You can't stand before the great throne of glory. Amen. You can't be in heaven with all his holy angels. Amen. You definitely can't live and obtain eternal life with your doctrine degree. So you keep your doctrine degree, amen. There's nothing wrong with having it. I'm not knocking nobody has a doctrine degree because I believe it's a great achievement on earth and in this life, but amen. But the gift that I'd rather have, come on, doctor, is the gift of eternal life. Which he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, amen. Yeah. Church, we just trying to get you ready to go home, amen. You don't be so attached to this world. Don't be so in love with this world, amen. Don't be so attached to money and things and business and entrepreneurship and scholarships and degrees and master's degrees and doctor's degrees. It's okay to have while you're here on earth, amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, amen, if you don't have salvation, amen, then all is lost, amen. The Bible said, for what it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, amen. It won't matter, amen, how many degrees you got. I've met people that said they got 3 and 4 degrees, and I'm thinking in my mind, my gosh, 3 degrees. I couldn't fathom all the studying and research, amen, that this individual has done to obtain all the degrees. How much money can you make with 3 and 4 degrees? I have friends that got master's degrees and don't make no more money than I have, amen. And I ain't bragging about them. I'm just simply saying that's how men will cheat you. You'll go out here and do all this studying and research and paying all these loans and backs and all this stuff, and they don't even want to give you a good, decent paying job to pay your mortgage, your rent, a good car note, amen, but they won't sit out here and play games. I'm sitting there to tell you, man, my God plays no games. My God is not fake. He is real, amen. On, he's going to reward you. He ain't going to do like the devil. He can sell you out, get you to sell your soul, and in 6 months, you get into a year, you're dead. So you ain't got to enjoy none of that hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars he didn't get. He didn't cheat it, just what he didn't did. And now your soul's in hell, and then you're going to go before God at the great white throne judgment. And then after he judges them angels, you're going to see that your name is not written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. Then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And you think, ooh, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil? The devil ain't nobody for me to sell my soul to. The devil can't have my soul. That's what he's mad about, because my soul belongs to the Most High God. And my name is written in the Lamb book of life up in heaven, amen, because I can't wait to see the King of Glory. I can't wait for the trumpets to sound, amen, because once those trumpets sound, amen, you best believe, amen, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up with him to enjoy him, man, for all eternity. Amen. Y'all can play with him all you want to, amen, but I know where I'm going to be. Amen. Amen. Like the Old Testament saints say, amen, I'm going to run on and see what the end is going to be. Amen. You can play all you want to, amen. Amen. But I want to be there. Amen. I want to be ready, amen, when Jesus come, amen, when Yahshua come, amen. I want to be there, amen. God bless you, amen. I'm going to say good night to you, brother. I really enjoyed this word, amen. Hopefully something I said, to bless your soul, to bless your spirit. But before I leave, amen, I got to leave this with you because I don't ever preach, amen. I've been doing this for 20 years. I don't ever give God's word out, amen, without giving you the opportunity to receive what I have, amen. You said, brother, what you got? All I have is eternal life, and I'm grateful for it. So let me give you that because, amen, you said, what do you mean all you have is eternal life? Because remember, amen, when the trumpets blow, when it's all said and done, I can't take my house. I can't take my cars, my jewelry, the little money I got in my bank account because, amen, because a lot of folks got a lot of money. I work at the bank. Amen. So the little money I do have, I'm grateful for. Amen. But I can't take it with me. My clothes, my shoes, any possession that I have on this earth. Amen. I cannot take it with me to the next life. Amen. So all that I have is eternal life. And I want to be humble and gracious to always extend eternal life to whoever's listening. Amen. Let's go over to Romans. Amen. Brother, if I got a little time, I just want to share it with you. Amen. Before I close it out for tonight. Amen. I'm gonna tell you to go to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I read it many times. That's the plan of salvation. Amen.
That's it.
Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is all you have to do. You don't have to wait till you get back to church. You don't have to wait to go to the bishop, the overseer, amen, the pastor, the whoever, the deacon. You ain't got to wait on all that. Man, I'll tell you all this stuff. I've actually heard people say silly stuff like that. Oh, we got to go to the pastor. You know, the pastor don't have salvation.
Amen.
I don't have salvation. Amen. Christ has salvation. The cross has salvation. So let me go ahead and give you. Amen. The scripture. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And this is all you have to do. You can be in your bed and get saved tonight. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Right.
You may be in a cell. Amen. I don't want to leave nobody out. You may be in a cell. I don't care what your situation is. You may be on a street corner. Amen. Salvation is for everybody. My dad used to say, as long as you got blood running through your veins, you got opportunity to be saved.
Yes,
and I want you to become saved tonight. I don't want you to miss the glory bound train. I want you to be there with me, with us, with the watchman on the wall when those trumpets sound. I want to be able to fellowship with you and say, brother, I remember when you used to preach the word. Amen. I want to say, I want to remember when you was listening. Amen. And that it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. And I'm going to leave you with this, amen, before I say goodnight. Go over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Amen. Verse 35. Amen. Through 39. I'm going to read this to you real quick. Amen. Watch what it says. And this is how you know that salvation is forever. It never stops, and you never lose it. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No.
Come on.
Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness?
Come on.
No. Or peril? No. Or sword? No. As it is written. In other words, Paul said, I didn't make this up. It was already written before I got here. It says, for thy sake, we are what? Killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Brother, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Through him that loved us. It says, watch Paul said. Paul said, for I am persuaded. Paul said, I am convinced. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, Yahweh in heaven, which is in Christ, Yahshua, our Lord. Amen. Nothing can separate you from salvation. Nothing can take
nothing
you from salvation.
Nothing.
It is impossible to lose your salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. For God so loved the world, Lord, have mercy, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen,
yeah.
Brother. God bless you. Amen. This was beautiful. Thank you for having me. Amen. I will be back on with y'all this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday. We'll be back on the air, and we're going to be watching for you guys. Amen. I'm here with Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar. Brother, it's all yours. Thank you. Amen. And you all have a beautiful night. Be blessed. Stay warm. Stay safe. And take care. I love every one of you.
Amen.
Amen. To Yahweh be the
praise
glory.
God. Praise God. All right, brother, 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 brother. You're down on the one-yard line. Amen. We done took the ball, the gospel, down to the one-yard line. And you can get a touchdown that will last forever. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? You're in that zone forever. You're in the saving zone. And the brother said, man, you can't lose your salvation. There ain't no such thing as being born three times. Ain't no such thing born four or five, six times. The Bible said, ye must be born again. It didn't say it again and again and again. So what I'm trying to tell you, when you come to Jesus Christ, with a repentant heart, a broken down heart, down to the zero factor, where you have said, Lord, I give up. I am tired of this lifestyle. I am tired of getting drunk. I'm tired of sex. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of this homosexual tendency. I'm tired of lesbianism. I'm tired of all kinds of debauchery that the devil is bringing up in my life. And I'm going to turn from sin, death, hell, and the grave and look towards the blood cross, the bloody cross. It was blood. It was a unique blood. It was a holy blood. It was God's blood that he shed through his son, Jesus Christ. And that blood had power enough to wipe out every sin that you ever committed, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. God done saved you by doing what? Repenting. Godly sorrow. Sorrow. You are sorrowful for what you have done against a holy, righteous, loving God. A loving God. God is love. And if you say God, if the Bible says God is love, that means God loves you. And he don't want to see no man, no woman go to hell on their own. He don't want nobody to be lost. He would wish that every man would come to repentance and every man would be saved. God done made his choice. When he died and came back from the grave, he made his choice. He came all the way down from heaven and suffered on a cruel cross. I mean, it was devastated. They whipped him, beat him, almost annihilated him